Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Tata Elxsi Q1 FY 2025-26 earnings conference call hosted by Tata Elxsi Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. Should you need assistance during this conference, please signal the operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Shashank Ganesh from EY. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Ganesh.
Thank you very much. Good evening to all the participants on the call. Good morning if you're joining from the western side. Before we proceed to the call, let me remind you that the discussion may contain forward-looking statements that may involve known or unknown risks, uncertainties, and other factors. Therefore, it must be viewed in conjunction with the business risk that could cause further result performance or achievements that differ significantly from what is expressed or implied by such statements. To take us through the results and answer your questions today, we have the senior management of Tata Elxsi, represented by Mr. Manoj Raghavan, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Nitin Pai, Chief Marketing and Chief Strategy Officer, Mr. Gaurav Bajaj, Chief Financial Officer, and Ms. Sneha V, Company Secretary. We will start the call with a brief overview of the past quarter by Mr. Raghavan, followed by a Q&A session. We would appreciate your cooperation in restricting yourself to two questions to allow participants an opportunity to interact. If you have any further questions, you may join the queue, and we will be happy to respond to them if time permits. With that, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Manoj Raghavan. Over to you, Manoj.
Thank you, Shashank. A very good evening to all of you, and thanks for joining us today for the Q1 FY 26 earnings call. I hope that you and everyone in your family is safe and healthy. For the first quarter of FY 26, we reported an operating revenue of rupees 892.1 crores. EBITDA margin stood at 20.9%, and PBT margin was reported at 21.1%. This quarter was challenging across key regions, with geopolitical uncertainty and industry and customer-specific issues impacting R&D spend and deal closures across geographies. Our transportation business, that represents over 50% of our overall revenues, did well to exit flat in constant currency terms. The automotive industry is still in a state of flux with the China business and tariff-related uncertainties, casting a cloud on R&D strategy and spend, while the Tier 1 supply business continues to be challenged. We had announced large deals in the previous quarter in SDV vehicle engineering for Mercedes-Benz, a European OEM, and Suzuki. These are now ramping up, and we have the necessary capacity and capability to service them and grow over the next few quarters. Our largest customer is stabilizing in the outlook and revenues, and we expect to stay steady for the rest of the year. We are in discussions for some large strategic deals with OEMs, including some new logos in Japan, US, and Europe. I am pleased to report our continued progress in the adjacency strategy with two strategic deal wins from the off-highway segment in ADAS and connected vehicles. We are confident of the continued recovery and growth of our transportation business through the rest of the year, backed by deals that we have won, a healthy pipeline of large deals, and a new customer logos. Our media and communication business reported a decline of 5.5% QOQ in constant currency. The large consolidation deals we announced at the end of Q4 FY25 will contribute to revenue growth in the upcoming quarters. The transition investments that are part of such consolidation deals has largely contributed to this dip in this quarter. While the overall business environment in this industry continues to be subdued, we have been working on shaping some large deals both for consolidation and existing clients and some strategic AI and automation-led large deals with new logos. I'm also pleased to announce a strategic multi-million-dollar design digital deal with a US tech giant for next-generation AI and product feature development. We expect to bring back growth in this vertical in Q2 on the back of the deal ramp-ups and healthy deal pipeline. Our healthcare and life sciences segment declined 6.7% quarter-on-quarter in constant currency, primarily affected by tariff-related impact on medical devices with two key customers in the US, which is a primary market for this vertical. This has impacted R&D and discretionary spend in the short term, and we expect recovery in the service line in the second half of FY26. We are expanding our customer base across geos and I'm pleased to report two key wins, including a global pharma and biotech leader from Europe and a medtech leader from Japan. On the talent front, we'll continue to add to our talent base with over 400 fresh engineers planned in this quarter. We expect a steady improvement in bottom line and margin, even as our two largest businesses, transportation and media and communication, return to growth in Q2, FY26 and beyond. And utilization improves on the back of ready capacity and capability we have invested in over the past few quarters. Before I conclude, I'd like to announce the launch of our new reimagined website, which went live earlier this week. I encourage all of you to visit our new website that positions Tata Elxsi at the forefront of an AI-first design-led proposition for brands and businesses to deliver reimagined products and experiences, improve their efficiencies and time to market. Thank you, and with this, I hand it over back for the Q&A session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to please use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Bhavik Mehta from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. So a couple of questions. Firstly, on the auto vertical, can you comment in terms of how the demand pattern has changed over the last 3 months, both in terms of deal closures as well as deal ramp-ups? Are the clients still in wait-and-watch mode given the tariff situation, or are we seeing them restart their spend going forward? And the second question is on healthcare. Can you talk about, or actually can you give more color on the two client-specific issues? Is this cancellation of projects, or was something ramped down? We should come back in the second half. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, thanks, Bhavik. On the auto sector, we see deals coming through in the Europe and the APAC region, right? And some of the deals that we have won in the previous quarters, the ramp-ups were a little bit slow. That ramp-up has started accelerating. So in the last quarter, we did see good ramp-ups of the deals that we had closed in the previous quarters. And that trend continues. That trend we expect to continue in the upcoming quarters as well. So our U.S. market is still a little bit slow, but other markets, we see a much better, visibility, deal closures, as well as ramp-ups happening. Regarding the healthcare, these are primarily U.S. customers, two large customers of ours, wherein some of the new projects that we are expecting to ramp up in the quarter, that was put on pause, primarily because of, lack of clarity, given all the uncertainties in their own business and so on. However, we expect that to get started, in the coming quarter. So we are expecting that, some of this will get started immediately in Q2 itself. However, we also have a set of other new logos that we have opened in the healthcare space. These are still small businesses for us, but we expect a continued growth of that, and we expect in H2, we will be able to ramp up a much bigger business with some of the new logos that we have opened.
Bhavik, does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Manik Taneja from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
I thank you for the opportunity. Manoj, I basically had two questions. The first question was with regards to the business outlook within the top single customer, which has continued to do very well, and given some of the annual report disclosures, it appears you expect further growth in this account in FY26, if you could clarify on that front. And the second question was with regards to the way our margins have shaped up through the course of recent quarters. While I do understand there is some element of limited revenue growth at play, but how should we be thinking about spare capacity in the context of the fact that over the course of four of the last five quarters you've cut headcount and still your margins have been down. And do you now really think our margins can claw back to what we used to report in FY 2023 or 2024, or we might probably need to adjust to a new normal in terms of margins? Thank you.
Sure. Thanks, Manik. Regarding JLR, yes, I mean, the situation at JLR is a little fluid, right? Given their own, sales and, other related issues that they have. However, from our perspective, I believe that, look, we will be able to maintain at the current level. We may not have an aggressive growth there, but I think we have enough visibility to maintain our business and also have some incremental growth there. Coming to the margins, of course, as you rightly said, a lot of the margin situation is because of the drop in the revenues. And, definitely as the revenues pick up, we are confident of getting back to the margin, profile. We foresee that, over the next three quarters, we will gradually be able to pull back the margins. It's not going to happen all of a sudden, but all efforts are on to really, look at all the levers that are available to us and to focus on margin improvements in the coming quarters, right? So yeah, I think, if you look at it, because of the Q1, current situation, maybe from a financial year perspective, we could end up with a margin which is lower than what we have, performed in the last financial year. But I think we should be able to pull up the margin gradually over the next three quarters.
Manoj, my question was more for the medium term. You used to operate at about 29%-30% EBITDA margins. Do you think that's a margin we should probably think about as the business improves, not just in this year, but beyond this year?
Yeah, yeah. That is the aspiration. That is exactly what, we are aiming for. We definitely need to get back to those margin profiles. In the medium term, definitely that's what our focus is.
Sure. And how should we be thinking about wage hikes for us, given typically we used to give wage hikes in Q2 for the junior folks? Any comments that you could share with regards to what you are thinking about for this year?
Yeah. So most probably those hikes will happen from Q3 onwards, October timeframe.
Okay. But as of now, you're still planning for wage hikes?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thank you, and all the best in the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask questions, you may please press star and one on your touchtone telephones. Our next question comes from the line of Muzaffar Sheikh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
You are audible, sir. You may proceed.
Yeah, thank you. I would like to ask about the government PLI scheme and the factory which is coming up in Gujarat. So where are we on that? And do we see it coming in the coming quarters? Thank you.
Sorry, the semiconductor factory in Gujarat, in Dholera, is actually Tata Electronics, right? Tata Elxsi has nothing to do with that factory. However, Tata Electronics is a customer of ours, and, we continue to support them in some of the projects that we are doing, but we are not really involved in the factory.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Debashish Mazumdar from Svan Investments. Please go ahead.
Good evening to the management team. The one follow-up question which Manik was earlier asking about margin. So if I understand correctly, one of the reason Tata Elxsi used to report very strong set of margin because they are focused on offshore centric deals. But over the last two to three quarters, what we have seen is a consistent fall in margins. So, is it like we have shifted our focus from more into on-site focused deals also, their margins are initially low and will be able to kind of catch up later, or it is like a normal process of business which is impacting our margins?
No. So our offshore-centric business continues, Debashish. There is no change in that. A majority of our business continues to be, more than I think 76% continues to be offshore. So there is no change. However, I think the margin is more to do with the top line, degrowth that we are seeing. Once we get back to our growth, our margin profiles will come back. Of course, also the type of deals that are there, the consolidation deals, the large deals that we have signed up, a lot of it also, puts a little bit of a pressure on our, on our margins. And that is something that we are working to see how we can improve using operational efficiency.
Okay. And of the last quarter, the deals, last to last quarter, the deals that you have won, which is Asia specific. So when those deal ramps up happening, we are seeing some margin pressure. So is it like those deals are, contours of the, those deals are such a way that it will kind of lower margin business for us?
It's not lower margin business, but, in some cases, we need to take over, take over and manage the transition. In some of those cases, we may not get revenues in the initial period. However, the revenues will start ramping up once the steady state happens and so on. So we have some of those deals also affecting us at this point in time. But however, as the deals ramp up and so on, and when we take overall control of it, the margins will definitely come back.
Sure. Understood. But you are confident of kind of operating at 29-30% kind of EBITDA margin in medium term?
In the medium term, yes.
Okay. One last question from my side. You normally provide a good color around tier 1 OEMs and tier 1s in transportation and also off-market and passenger vehicles. So if you can give some idea around the different segments, how different segments are doing for us and as an industry overall.
Yeah, as I said, right, automotive industry, I mean, if you look at our transportation business, in actual currencies, we have shown growth, but in constant currencies, we have ended flat. I think that's a fantastic performance. Almost 72 to 75% of our revenues now come from OEM, which is the passenger car, makers. The tier ones, have, sort of, reduced, which is in line with what we see in the industry, right, moving forward. From an adjacency perspective, we continue to see deal closures happening. I think we have announced some of the deals also, both in off-road segment and commercial vehicle segment. Our investments in aerospace and defense, we continue to build teams. We're still not announced any large deals there, but I think that those are all in works. And hopefully, in the subsequent quarters, we should be able to announce some large deal wins there as well.
Sure. Thank you so much for answering my question.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Manik Taneja from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, Manoj. While you partially alluded to the investments in defense and aerospace, but if you could help us understand the likely investments that we will make in terms of expanding our GTM in these segments, and will that probably create more headwinds in the near term from a margin standpoint, or these are limited investments and thereby you can manage to other operating levers?
No, so we have already ramped up almost 150 people team in this space. We have invested in building capabilities. We have for example, we have built our own capabilities in drones. We have built capabilities in eVTOLs. We have, if you actually come to our campus, you can see some of these actually flying, right? We have shown demos to global players. We have we have been working with HAL, NAL, and some of the defense labs in Bangalore. A lot of interesting work actually happening. I wish we were in a situation to really convert some of this into deals and bring in revenues. I think we're almost there. We should be able to hopefully announce some deals. Some very good discussions happening with potential customers, both the large players in US, as well as, you know, defense labs and, you know, DRDOs and ISROs in India. By the nature of the business, these are all long lead time, you know, businesses. But the capability that we have built is fantastic. And why I'm saying that is because of the real interest that, you know, some of the folks that we have shown some of these technologies, right? What we see from them, right? The interest that we see from them. So yeah, I think we are not expanding the investments further. We really would want to, you know, close some deals and, you know, get into a revenue situation before we start investing again.
Okay. And any medium-term revenue targets that you would want to share with regards to these integrated work segments?
I wouldn't want to put a number there, but, you know, I would say at least we would like to make a start this quarter, right? You know, what we're looking at is anywhere between, you know, 50 crore of revenues this year, right, to get started. But, in the subsequent, you know, couple of years or 3 years from now, hopefully we will be able to ramp up significant business in this domain.
Sure. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Moez Chandani from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening and thank you for taking my question. My question was on the media and communications segment. So, you know, there you said that the industry has been subdued for several quarters now. But anything incremental that you've seen on Q1 versus where you were, say, a couple of quarters back? And what needs to change for this segment to really revive in terms of growth? I know that you're expecting growth to come back in Q2. But really, you know, where do you see the industry going in the medium term? And do you see a material acceleration in terms of growth there?
Yeah, I think this industry, you know, globally has been very subdued, right? And it's not only for us. If you look at most players in the media and telecom, you know, market are reporting very, very muted, you know, numbers. There are structural issues in the industry as well, right? If you look at it, a lot of M&A is happening. You know, during COVID, this industry grew very rapidly. But after COVID, all of a sudden, you see that you know, most operators, whether it's media services operators or telecom operators globally, have not been able to add net new subscribers. The subscriber numbers have actually, you know, coming down. The ARPUs are coming down. So there's a little bit of an, you know, issue structurally in this industry. A lot of the deals that we see at this point in time are a lot about, you know, efficiency-driven deals, you know, how can we do more with less, consolidation deals. And of course, you know, we are starting to see AI and GenAI-led deals as well in this particular, you know, industry segment. We see, as I said, we also see in the media space, if you look at it, we see M&As happening. We see, you know, we see even large companies, you know, whether it's Warner Brothers, Disney or NBCU, you know, taking decisions of, you know, hiving out the digital pieces as a separate company and the legacy pieces as a different company. So there are a lot of things happening in this particular industry. From a telecom perspective, again, you know, 5G investments have really not, you know, brought in new revenue streams for operators. We're now getting into the 6G era. So again, we see a lot of focus on, what do you say, you know, using of open source, you know, bring down the cost, automation, how to improve, you know, operational efficiencies. So these are all the themes that are playing out. And we are trying to, you know, capitalize on some of these, right? For example, we have built our own product, you know, called Neuron, right, which really helps in the automation piece, right? How can we help customers, you know, automate their deployments, their operations, you know, using automation frameworks, using GenAI and so on, so that without adding manpower, can they still continue to deliver better operational efficiencies for their customers? So So there are various things that are playing in this particular industry. We have, of course, you know, we operate from a services perspective. At the same time, we also have certain products that we license to customers that sort of, you know, acts like a differentiator as compared to a lot of our competition. So we're trying different things, you know, to really, you know, open up the market and you know, also to grab wallet share and so on, right? Efforts are on, but the market currently, I think, is in a very, very, you know, difficult situation. Having said that, I think we have reached the, you know, bottom from Tata Elxsi's perspective. And some of those has also been because of the large deals that we have won and, you know, the transition period and transition cost. And all of that is now behind us. So hopefully from the coming quarter, we should be able to report better results in this particular, in a vertical for us. Having said that, as I said, the market is still very, very, it's not an easy market at all. And the deals are all, you know, most of deals, large deals especially, are around efficiency themes here.
All right.
Hope I answered your question.
Yes, yes. Thank you for that. My next question was on your system integration and support segment. I've seen a very sharp decline on a quarter-on-quarter basis, right? Nearly down 30%. So how should we think about that? Do we expect that this is going to continue to decline going forward?
No, so I think that is all because of one deal that we won in the last quarter, which was a one-time deal, a large deal, I think almost 13, 14 crores. Worth of deal that it's a small business for us, right? So in percentage terms, you might say, oh, there's a big drop, but actually it's not that big a drop. Okay. Mm-hmm. So don't go by the percentage. What has happened was last quarter, there was a large deal that is, you know, the Bharat Pavilion in Japan, in Osaka. That was a fantastic work that we delivered last quarter. There were other deals, similar experience design deals that were, we were bidding for in this quarter. However, you know, closures did not happen on time. And that's the reason why there is a sharp dip in that business, if you look at it from a percentage terms perspective. However, I mean, that is the nature of the business. These are, you know, you could get, you know, 10 crore, 15 crore, 20 crore deals with a turnaround time of, you know, 3 months or 4 months. And then we really need to find replacement deals and so on. That's the nature of the business there. So,
right.
If you look at it, SI business will usually be around 25-30 crores a quarter for us.
All right, got it. Thank you. Thank you for answering my questions.
Sure, thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Bhavik Mehta from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the follow-up. Just one question on the media and telecom segment. Can you explain how does the large deal transition cost impact the revenue? I understand there are upfront costs because of knowledge transfer, which might impact the margin. But how does it impact the revenues? Just you guys about that.
Yeah, so I think, Bhavik, if you look at it, it's a large deal that we have won, right? So what happens is that deal comes at certain commercial terms, which is lower than, you know, the rates at which we have been working in the previous quarters. Now, if you look at it, when we get into that deal, so for example, this was the first quarter of that deal, so our entire portfolio of business in that particular customer, the rates have been reset to a lower, you know, per unit rate because of the commercial construct of that deal. So if you look at it, volumes have not gone down, but because of the rate negotiation that has happened on the overall portfolio, the business has come down.
So
but however, there is a commitment. It's a 3-year commitment. So we will be able to make up this over the next 3 years.
So is this reset already happened in 1Q or should we see this being a headwind to some extent going forward?
It has already happened in 1Q, the first quarter.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Ashish Dash from Mirai Asset Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening. So my question is on healthcare and medical devices vertical. So this vertical has been remained soft for last few quarters.
Sorry to interrupt, Ashish, but your line is not very clear. May I request you to please check the mode that you're using?
Hello. Is it better now?
This is much better, sir. Please proceed.
Okay.
On healthcare and medical devices vertical, what I see that this vertical has been remained weak for the last few quarters.
So sorry, once again, Ashish, right now your line is breaking up.
Recovering 2x. So I just want to understand what gives you confidence that it would recover in the second half. And second, I just want to understand that what I believe that this vertical has good.
Ashish, sorry to interrupt, but your line is breaking up in between right now. May I request you to please obtain better network and rejoin the queue. Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Vimal Jamadas Gohil from Alchemy Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Manoj, my question was on autos. Given the fact that the entire sector is in a bit of a flux because of tariffs, and we've done a good job of keeping our heads above water. But I want to understand the ramp up of the newer deals and as to why will the ramp up not get impacted because of the situation we are in? What leads to your confidence on the ramp up of the large deals that you've won? And why will the existing deals not ramp up if the current ones that you've won in the previous few quarters, if they're doing well, why shouldn't the existing ones also shouldn't they do well?
No, so what is the confidence you asked, right? The confidence is because we had certain, between the customer and us, we had, to achieve certain ramp-ups in Q1. And we have certain ramp-ups to happen in Q2 and beyond, right? So I'm happy to tell you that the Q1 ramp up has happened as per expectation, right? So we don't see any pullback, we don't see any slowdown that is happening from the ramp up perspective. Of course, given that the markets are not very in a very favorable position and so on, but still the ramp ups have happened, and the sort of engagement that we're having with customers, right? The sort of reviews that we are having on a regular basis gives us the confidence that look, this ramp up, whatever deal that we have planned is going as per original plan. We are not changing any of those deal terms, right? So far, right? And that is a commitment in Q2 as well. That look, this is a ramp up that we will have, and we are progressing as per that schedule. There is no pullback. There's no budget cuts. The projects are coming in, engagements are happening with the customers. So all of that is happening as per plan. So that's why we are pretty confident that, those deals are going ahead as per plan.
So Manoj, again, it's encouraging to hear the new deals happening up well. My follow-up then would be on the existing business, especially with tier ones, and tier ones for us have done very well over the past few quarters, wherein we've faced some pain on the OEM business. Sorry, our OEM business has done very well versus the tier one sort of struggling. So why isn't that our existing tier one contracts are showing the kind of growth that the newer deals are showing?
No, the tier one business globally is very, very stressed. That is because the tier ones are also not winning large deals, right? Many of them are losing deals because OEMs are taking over that role. OEMs are becoming more like, tier ones, right? OEMs are really, wanting to own software. So we see that happening across the globe, that more and more deals are, in the automotive industry, the OEMs are taking that ownership, And even if there are tier one, you know, opportunities, most of the tier ones have their own GCCs here. And the current, I mean, whatever we've seen of the tier ones is a lot of the work is being done out of the GCCs. So to that extent, you know, our business from tier ones, we see a continue to see that decline. And whatever little business that we are seeing is from the GCCs and our engagement with GCCs.
And Manoj, what about OEMs? How will the existing business from OEMs pick up from Q2, Q3? When do you expect that to pick up? X of the newer deals.
No, no, we are already seeing that, right? We are already seeing, you know, when I say, you know, more than 72% of our revenues today is coming from OEMs. I think maybe a couple of quarters ago, it was 60%. We are seeing the gradual move that more and more of our business is coming from OEMs. Of course, the large deals we have won, that is also helping. But across the globe, we continue to see, you know, deal momentum in OEMs. A lot of the, you know, deals, whether it is in Japan or in APAC region and India, we see a lot of, you know, OEM movement there. Europe also, the new deals that we are seeing is from the OEM. So that is also improving. US is a little bit slow. I mean, some of the OEM, you know, customers that we are engaged with, we have seen some amount of disruption and, project stoppages and so on. But we're not getting a clear idea as to when we will be able to restart some of those discussions with the US OEMs. But minus US OEMs, I think we are seeing, you know, we are seeing a good recovery happening across the market.
Fair enough, Manoj. Wishing you all the very best for the rest of the year.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Karan Uppal from Philip Capital India. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Just continuing the discussion Vimal asked, so the ramp-ups which you are seeing in the auto business, could you clarify which areas you are seeing the demand? Is it EVs? Is it hybrids? Is it SUV, body engineering? Which are the areas in which you are seeing the demand?
We continue to see demand in ADAS, in SDV, as well as electrification. Some of the older relationships we have, we still continue to see work on body chassis, infotainment, cockpit areas as well.
Okay. Also, just wanted to check on the Mercedes deal which you have announced. If you can provide the ballpark range, what was the deal size and what is the scope of work given to Tata Elxsi? Is it around OS, middleware, cloud, verification, validation, or all these areas? If you can clarify that. And how is the pipeline for SDV-related work?
Yeah, so I think we have whatever information on Mercedes, we have already issued a press release, right? So we are not going to provide any further color other than what is already provided. But a lot of the business actually comes from the SDV area, plus a little bit of powertrain area as well out there.
And how are you seeing the pipeline for SDV-related deals, Manoj?
A lot of the OEM deals that we are signing up and a lot of the conversations are around SDV.
And the last question from my side is on FY26 growth. So in terms of vertical mix, how do you see each of these verticals, performing? You have mentioned, some ramp-up visibility there in auto segment. And in media also, you are a bit positive. So from the full year perspective, how do you look at the vertical growth?
I think, for the financial year, I think our growth will be led by the transportation business. That would continue, because on the back of the deals that we have signed and also on the traction that we see in the market, the growth for the company will be led definitely by the transportation business. Media and communication business will recover, and that's the plan that we are working on. So we hopefully will see the growth from Q2 itself. Healthcare, I would be a little careful there. Tariff-related issues and so on, and the fact that it's a smaller business for us, And, you know, we don't have a large list of customers. It's a select set of good customers that we have. So that will be a little volatile for us. But however, we hope in H2, we will start seeing the growth in that particular business. We have done a lot of investments there, including from a leadership perspective, from a sales perspective. You know, we have done a lot of investments, and we are hoping that from H2 onwards, we will see an uptick in business there. And this business is also a little bit of a long lead cycle business. So we are working on some good opportunities and so on, but closure times, closure takes time in the healthcare business. So that's how the three businesses would pan out.
Okay. Great. Thanks, and all the best.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Arvind Jadhav, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity. I'm looking at the headcount reduction in the quarter on quarter and year on year. Also, the attrition rate is also increasing, like in quarter on quarter and year on year. Looking on all these, it looks like the business environment is quite challenging right now. So, is there any strategy to bring back the past glory in the performance going forward?
No, of course, that's what we have been discussing all along. I mean, the business environment is definitely tough. So we discussed about how the three verticals. So, we also talked about how, the growth will be led by the transportation vertical that we have. And that's what we have been working. The media and communication also will come back to growth. Healthcare will take some more time. So we are hopeful that, you know, whatever steps that we are taking, we will be able to, grow our business, right? Yes, the headcount has come down because we have not been aggressively hiring. We still have a decent bench that is available. And as the business grows, we'll be able to utilize the bench at the same time, you know, improving our margin as well. So we're very conscious about this situation, Arvind. And, hopefully you'll see the performance come back in the coming quarters.
Okay, and any new strategy entering in new geography or in any new vertical or any inorganic growth opportunity there?
We still would focus on the main geographies, right, which is US, Europe, Japan and India. Of course, we have entered into Middle East, Africa and Latin America. And, Southeast Asia. So these are new geographies that, we have some business today, not a major business, I would say. But hopefully we'll be able to, ramp up our business there. On M&A, yes, we are looking, we have certain, at any point of time, we have certain pursuits. But again, it will only be, whatever we look could be a tuck-in sort of an acquisition, right? And regarding new verticals, we are looking at adjacencies for each of our, three main verticals. We are currently, focused on the aerospace and defense as a new vertical, and we are investing. I think I talked about it in one of the previous questions. So that is what we will be focusing on in this financial year.
Are you optimistic regarding margin in the aerospace and defense sector?
Sorry, what is the question?
Regarding margin in the aerospace and the defense business, are you optimistic on that?
Yeah, I think we'll answer that question once we see the. I mean, we are taking a very differentiated, position and a very different approach as compared to some of our traditional, partners. As compared to some of the traditional companies that operate in aerospace and defense, right? So we believe we have an opportunity to win deals at decent margins there.
Hello.
Arvind, you are audible. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Arvind, you may proceed. You are audible.
Yes. Sir, any guidance regarding FY26 revenue and net profit? Any some idea? Can you give some idea?
No, we don't give guidance you know, either revenue or profitability.
Okay. And the last question from my side, sir. Is there any planning for the stock split or any bonus issue for rewarding the shareholders?
I think that question was addressed in our AGM by our chairman. A lot of our shareholders have asked about it, and we will be considering that in the board, and we'll get back at an appropriate time to the shareholders.
Okay, thank you, sir. That's it from my side.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Sulabh Govila from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. My first question is with respect to the media vertical. So just wanted to understand this large deal that we had won last quarter. So by when do we expect this to fully ramp up? Can you provide any color around that?
Full ramp up should happen by H2 of this year, financial year.
Okay, so you mean by the fourth quarter?
Yeah, most probably between third quarter and fourth quarter, yeah.
Okay. Understood. And with respect to the mobility vertical, while you highlighted that there are certain deals which continue to ramp up and there are more ramp ups which are coming from 2Q onwards, are there any potential areas of leakages that you still expect in the coming quarter, given that we mentioned that tier ones, they continue to be weak, and in JLR we expect momentum to be maintained, in the sense we don't expect an aggressive growth out there, and US OEMs may also be weak. So if I add all of that, so it's probably 3/4 of the portfolio. So just trying to understand if there is any area of potential leakage or weakness which is there in the quarter.
I think the tier one portfolio would continue to be under stress, right? And it is purely because of the business issues that the tier ones are having. Already our revenues from tier ones have come down. I think we have reached a stage where I don't really foresee too much of a drop in that portfolio, but the fact is that their businesses are challenged, so that could be maybe a little bit more of degrowth in the tier one, but it should not impact us so much, because the growth that we are seeing from the OEM side will be much larger and faster as compared to the degrowth. So we should be able to show positive growth is our expectation.
Understood. And then just the last question on margins. If you could provide the margin walk for the quarter, given that the cost increase this quarter is quite sharp. So just trying to understand what's the sort of investment that has gone in this particular deal.
Sure.
On the media side.
I will ask Gaurav to take you through that.
Hey, hi, Sulabh. Sulabh, if you see our overall total cost, that has not gone up significantly. I think it is almost flattish or slightly, up from the last quarter just by 4-5 crores. But that cost increase is mainly on account of currency impact on the on-site people's salary cost and some of the visas that has been applied during the quarter. However, the margin work, the major flow through and dip in the margin is because of the revenue, sequential decline. Otherwise, on the operating side, the cost doesn't have any signature change.
Okay. Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohan Nagpal from Helios Capital India. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Sure. You are audible, sir. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So continuing on the ramp up within the OEM business. So if I look at the impulse to spend and invest more in R&D and the electrification and SUV programs, etc., that has been constant for the last two or three quarters, or maybe longer actually. And if I look at the macroeconomic environment, it seems to be stable, if not deteriorated. I mean, TCS called out continued uncertainty, and they actually called out a demand contraction. So that is in contrast with what you're saying, in that you're fairly confident of growth from the OEM side of the business for you. So I'm just trying to understand qualitatively what is driving the growth. Like what has happened now that the OEMs are finally ramping up their spending and there is increased momentum in deal closure?
I think I'm not talking of all the OEMs suddenly deciding to spend and so on. I'm talking of the OEMs where we have engaged and the OEMs where we have signed some of the large deals over the last couple of quarters. They have shown inclination to spend, right? So I'm confident of the set of portfolio of accounts that Tata Elxsi is handling at this point in time. Given that we had met our objectives in Q1 and we don't see any of the customers going back on the deals that they have signed, we are confident that will continue. I'm not talking of the larger overall macro and what is happening to the larger overall spend in the market. I'm not talking of that.
Fair enough. I was just asking because you said that there is a slowdown, so to speak, in North America. You're not quite sure when that'll come up, but you said Europe and Asia, you see that ramp. So okay, I guess it's within that subset for you.
Yeah.
But even on the pipeline, if you're looking at the pipeline, are you seeing if pipeline is increasing, is it the pipeline for follow-on work with your existing portfolio, or are you seeing a slightly broader uptick in pipeline even for logos that you don't engage with? Because I think you called out a new logo addition, right?
Yeah. So it is both, right? Customers, existing customers of ours, also we see an uptick in business in the subsequent quarters. And the new logos that we're signed on, we are seeing that whatever, large deals that we signed on, that is continuing to, our execution, from an execution perspective, we continue to execute as per plan.
Okay. But all of this momentum is solely within your existing customers. You see, though, it's going to be difficult to expand to other logos within this year is what you're implying. Is that correct?
No, I'm not saying that. We do have pursuits from a new logo perspective and new customers, right? So that continues.
Yes.
I'm not saying that we are not going to get business. In fact, as we speak, there are, other opportunities and deals that we are chasing, proposals being made. So the good part is we are seeing all those discussions happening, conversations with new customers happening. So that is positive. That gives me hope that, look, we can do, moving forward in the next 3 quarters, we will be able to grow our business in the transportation industry.
Okay, so I just wanted to clarify that I'm understanding, I just want to confirm that I'm interpreting this correctly. So it's not just an increase in the momentum of, say, deal ramps within your customers, but there is an increase in deal momentum, or at least velocity of conversations with the broader automotive ecosystem with OEMs in Europe and Asia. Is that correct?
Yes, Europe and Asia. US continues to be slow for us.
Fair enough. Thank you. That's it from my end.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajakumar Vaidyanathan from RK Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. Am I audible?
So you are audible.
Yeah. So just a question on the margin front. So the question is, given the activity work you focus on really nice, I just wonder, once your revenue has been hired, so would be fair to assume that you will be able to surpass the margins that you have earned in the year of...
Sorry, we are not able to hear your question. You're not very audible at all.
Rajakumar, you're coming through very muffled. Maybe you could check the mode that you're using on your phone.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Not really, sir. You were breaking up in between as well.
Yeah, hello. Is it better now?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah. So the question front, so that your revenue engines are not firing now. So I just want to know if once your revenue engine fires, that you have extensively invested in AI and GenAI, so I had to assume that you'll be able to surpass whatever margin in the past years, the benefit of AI and GenAI.
I think your voice was still not very clear, but I guess your question was that once the revenue and all the new verticals started to fire, whether we would be able to get back or surpass our, you know, historical margin using GenAI AI engine. I think we answered that question previously, that I think the focus is to, you know, steadily grow from here. And once the revenue gets back, I think we are very confident that we will get back to our historical levels of the margin, but that would be our midterm aspirations to get to those levels of margin. But I think from here onwards, you will see there will be a gradual uptick in the margins, you know, as we, you know, progress on the steady state, I mean, steady revenue starts to, you know, build up on a quarter-to-quarter basis.
Okay. Just to labor on the same question. Actually what I want to know is, what is the impact of this AI on your headcount? In other words, if you were using one headcount earlier, has it brought down the number to 0.9 or 0.8, whatever is the number that you want to say?
No, of course, you know, we are using AI and GenAI. We are increasingly, you know, talking to customers and so on. But unlike IT or a BPO or some other industries, the impact of AI is not going to be very dramatic as we speak, right? There are a lot of, you know, legal issues. Customers are talking of, you know, open-ended liabilities. You know, there are a number of legal issues to be sorted off before you can see uptick of usage of AI and GenAI in the engineering space. So you cannot assume that because AI and GenAI, you know, is now available, you will be able to deploy lesser manpower and so on and so forth. Yes, for certain tasks, it is possible. For certain type of projects, it is possible. But it is not a generic, you know, for all projects we will be able to do it. So I'll be very guarded and not to mislead you in saying that, look, GenAI is a panacea for all the issues that we're going to have. That's not going to happen.
Okay, got it. And so the next question is, I just want to know, how big is the gaming segment for you folks and any outlook?
No, we don't operate in the gaming segment. We used to, maybe 10 years ago, but we have sort of got out of that segment.
Okay, sir. And lastly, one housekeeping question. So I see your tax rate has moved to almost 27% in this quarter. So is that the guidance for the whole year? Because last year was
26% odd. I think we have been mentioning during last few quarters that some of the benefit under the SEZ is coming to closure, and we have been moving from 100% tax holiday bracket to 50%, and hence the tax bracket will move towards, you know, high north of 25%. That's what we are seeing now. Last quarter was lower because there were certain tax order credit, you know, refund, income tax refunds order were there. But otherwise, if you see our normalized tax rate for the last few quarters, it is, you know, now about 26-odd%.
Okay. Got it, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as our last question for today. I would now like to hand the call over to the management at Tata Elxsi for closing comments.
Thank you once again. For all the investors, you know, for all the questions that you have, you know, look forward to seeing you again end of next quarter. And hopefully, you know, we will come up with much better performance that we anticipate in the coming quarter. Thank you so much and look forward to talking to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you. On behalf of Tata Elxsi Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.